So we're going to hear from in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And there Paul writes, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, just as it says, when he ascended on high, he took captives and gave gifts to his people. What does it mean he ascended, except that also that he descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, church. It is nice to be with you today. Now, I would like you to look down at your feet for a second. Now, did your parents ever buy you shoes that were two sizes too big? Mine did. I hated it, clomping around with all that empty space at the end, tripping over your feet. Those shoes that were clearly built for someone bigger than me. And then I became a parent, and I completely understood it. When Simone was two, we took her to the shoe store. And let me tell you, a two-year-old can have opinions. She wanted designer shoes. To my horror, they make designer shoes for two-year-olds. We did not buy her designer shoes. We bought sensible shoes, and we bought them a few sizes too big on purpose, the way every parent does. We buy Simone shoes that are too big, knowing that she will grow into them. So let's stay in Ephesians 4. In honor of the World Cup, I'm going to be dividing my sermon today into two parts. There's at least two parts of the body of Christ, the feet and the head, or the footwork and the headwork, the stuff of the feet and the stuff of the head. So let's start with the feet, so footwork, you know, trapping and dribbling and passing and shooting. No, not that kind of footwork. Here's the footwork that I mean. The church has really big shoes to fill. God has handed his church a pair of shoes, and he has said, walk. Now think about what that is, to be handed a pair of shoes and be told to walk. You didn't go shopping for those shoes. Somebody put them in your hands and they already pointed down the road and said, walk. I mean, that's what a calling is. A calling is something you didn't dream up for yourself. It's something that you're handed, like a pair of shoes. And that's the very word this passage keeps using, calling. You see it in verse 1. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. No small thing. You received it. It was handed to you. In verse 4, it says you were called to one hope. Called again. And what does the calling do? In verse 12, you're called to works of service. The calling becomes work. You've been called. So now you have to walk it out. God didn't hand us shoes to sit in a box. He handed them for us to walk in. Here's the thing about shoes, and shoes like these, they're big shoes to fill. Look at the passage that we are reading. Who wore these shoes before us? Giants, people who walked some hard roads. Paul is writing this letter from a cushy resort, and no, he's writing this from prison. Look at verse 1. He says, I'm a prisoner for the Lord. That's literal. He was writing this from prison. Walking in these shoes cost him his freedom. And verse 11 names the leaders that God gives the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Every one of them, big shoes. Big shoes for a hard road. And the hardest stretch of that road may be the very first one, because it runs through the people standing right next to you. Read verses 2 and 3 again with me. Be completely humble. Notice that word, completely humble. And gentle, be present, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, not just some effort, every effort to keep the unity of love, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I mean, these words sound nice, don't they? They're soft even, like something you would put on a throw pillow. But do you know what bearing with one another actually means? It means the person who tests your patience this week is going to be there again next week. And you stay. It means loving when the people walking beside you are hard to love, when they're difficult, when they walk slowly, when they're hurting or stubborn or worn out. And it also means, let's be honest, them bearing with you too, when you're the difficult one, when you're slow, when you're hurting or stubborn or worn out. Bearing with somebody, I mean, isn't a warm feeling that just washes over you. It's hard walking, step after step after step. And you don't get to do it on a calm day either. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. There are waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching. There's wind. There's waves and there's wind. Paul says, being like the church is like walking through torrential downpour, like walking through a storm, the kind where rain comes sideways, where there's voices in the wind that are trying to pull you off the path, where there are voices where they're telling you to become something that God didn't make you for, where the ground beneath you keeps shifting and you can't find your footing. The church has to walk a straight line through weather like that. And it's not a short walk either. For 2,000 years now, these shoes have been walking down roads that no one has mapped, carrying the good news. Past missionaries who kissed their children goodbye, and parents who now kiss their missionary children goodbye. People that never come home. You know, the walking never stops, not for a single generation. And should the Lord delay his coming, it will not stop in ours. So look down at your shoes. These are big shoes. It's a hard road. It's a storm with no clear end. Who can do this? Who's big enough to fill these shoes? Who's strong enough to walk this road a whole lifetime in this weather and never stop? And then you find out the truth about these shoes, because before Paul ever wore them, before any giant of the faith ever laced them up, these shoes were Jesus' own shoes. Look where he walked them in verse 9. Descended to the lower earthly regions. Down, down. Before he ever went up, he went down, all the way down to the lowest place there is. And look what that road cost him. Misunderstood by his family, turned on by the crowds, sold by a friend for silver, denied by the one he swore who never would deny him, left by every disciple that night that mattered most, mocked, stripped, beaten, nailed to a cross. You know, the biggest shoes, those are the shoes that God has handed the church. Those are the shoes. They walk the lowest road. And then he turns to us and says, walk. This is where you walk. These are the shoes. So I'll ask it one more time. Who can do this? Who can walk where Jesus walked? Really, who? Now let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. I mean, the trouble isn't really that we can't, although let's say it plainly, we can't. The trouble is how hard it is to admit we can't. And I think I know why. It's inside this picture I started with, filling someone's shoes. It's an image of succession, isn't it? I mean, the great ones came before us. And now it falls on us to step in and carry it forward. And the moment we think that way, watch where our minds go. We start reaching for strategies. We start, if we're honest, doing the math on the church budget. We start asking what we need to be put in place to keep this thing going. We start asking these questions because somewhere underneath we want to be the ones who hold it up. We want to be this church, and we want this church to need us. There's something in us that would rather be indispensable than rescued. And I want to be gentle here because it is a noble thing. It comes from love. It comes from wanting to be faithful, not from wanting to drop what was handed to us, but it is a trap, a noble, impossible trap. And here's the mercy of it. Christ never once asked us to fill his place. He doesn't ask us to succeed him. He hasn't gone anywhere. There's no vacancy at the top of the church for us to scramble to fill. The shoes were never handed to us so that we could be the ones carrying and holding everything up. So before we can hear the good news, we have to put something down. We have to stop reaching for the strategy as though strategy can save us. We have to admit that the thing we want so hard not to admit, that we cannot keep the body of Christ alive, but that we were never meant to. And that we have wanted to far more than we'd like to confess. The moment you put that down, the moment your hands finally become empty, we can look up. And friends, when we look up from the place of the feet, you know, feet were never meant to lead the body. The body has a head, and the head is Christ. The feet were never meant to lead the body, so look up. The church has a head. And it is not gone. Everything in this passage that actually gets done, notice that and reread it later. Watch who does the thing. Verse 8, when he ascended on high. Verse 9, when he descended into the lower earthly regions. Verse 11, Christ himself gave the apostles, the evangelists, the preachers, the teachers. Verse 7, grace is given as Christ apportions it. And verse 16, the engine of the whole thing, from him the whole body grows. I mean, from him, not from us, from him. Do you see what that does to the shoes? I mean, we've been staring at our own feet, asking how these small feet could fill these big shoes. But Paul says, stop looking at your feet. The question was never whether your feet can fill them. The question is, who is alive enough to make someone dead walk again? And the answer is the head, which is Christ. There's a difference between filling shoes and growing in them. Filling is something you do by straining from the outside alone. Growing is something that happens to you from the inside because you're alive. A child in shoes three sizes too big doesn't fill them by trying. They just grow because the child is alive. From him, the whole body grows. And he's not an absent hero that we're scrambling to replace. He descended. He ascended. He's on the throne. He is still giving. There's no vacancy here. Friends, the shoes weren't handed us to hold the whole body up in his absence. They were handed to us to walk where he's leading, alive right now at the head. You know, a few years ago, Andy told me that he was expecting more parenting illustrations to come out of me once I had Simone. And I made a rule for myself that I'd only mention Simone from the pulpit if I was going to put money in her college fund. So I never built the system to track it. And so I've been I've just avoided mentioning Simone. By my count in this sermon, I'm up to three. So I have to be economical here. I probably should figure out that system, because being a father has changed me. It really has. I mean, some of my counseling colleagues have told me in a very kind way that it softened me. And I've discovered now that, I mean, I will cry at movies about fathers and daughters. I mean, most recently, I don't like to admit this, but the Disney Cinderella story. I was just bawling when the father dies in an earthquake. I mean, but here's the thing, I'm making it up as I go. I mean, I love Simone more than life, and I'm still a beginner at loving her. I get the bedtime wrong, and she will tell me I've gotten the bedtime wrong. I get my own temper wrong, and it's her job to test my boundaries. I learn how to be a father slowly, and a lot of that learning happens at her expense. I mean, she's the one who absorbs my mistakes while I figure it out. And who knows, I mean, maybe one day Simone will forgive me for the clown shoes I have sent her clomping around in. I mean, she'll grow. That's what I tell myself. But now hold that up next to verse 6. One God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Son does the work. The work runs back to the source, the Father. And this Father is not a beginner. He's never gotten it wrong. He's never once learned to be a father at his children's expense. Whatever I'm still fumbling towards, he already is perfect from eternity without a single misstep. And that's the floor under everything in this passage. I mean, overall, he reigns. How this church turns out, it rests on him, not you. He does this through all. Your faithful, small, unglamorous, working, walking, mine, this moving, in all. He's not watching from a distance, right? In all means that even if, when you look down at your own feet and you feel like you don't measure up, I mean, he is there. He is closer than the strain of your own feet. So can we deal with the lie that sat on our shoulders this morning, right? Hold it all up. It depends on you. It falls apart. You were never meant to be the shoulders that the body stands on. I mean, look back behind you. You're standing on the shoulders of everyone who carried those shoes before you, the apostles, the martyrs, the translators, the faithful dead who walked this road and handed it down. You didn't start this. You won't be the one to finish it. And look beside you. I mean, verse 16 says, as each does its part. I mean, the body walks shoulder to shoulder, every part carrying its bit. The load was never meant to sit on your shoulders because it was never meant to sit on anyone's except for Christ's. And there is no succession here. We're not replacing him. He hasn't retired and left us a building and a budget and impossible shoes to fill. He's over all, through all, in all. Holding up this church this morning the same way he has for 2,000 years. Not because we're strong, but because he is. So we put our feet in the shoes, right? They're too big. They're supposed to be. And we walk. Not to hold the body up, but because the head is alive, the Father's under it, your feet are growing, and you're not walking alone. So I want you to look at your feet one more time. The shoes are too big. They are always going to be too big. These are the shoes of Jesus himself. And they've walked the hardest road there is. All morning, something in us has wanted to be big enough to fill them, to find the right plan, the clever move, the strength to measure up. And the good news of this passage is that you don't have to. You don't have to fill them. You never did. You can't make your feet grow. They just do. So let's put on the shoes. They're too big. They always will be. They're meant to be. And let's walk, not to hold anything up, not to impress anyone, and not alone. Walk because the head is alive, out in front, and from him the whole body grows. So kids, here's the secret. You know how mom and dad buy you shoes that are too big, and you trip, and they buy them because that way they'll know you'll grow. That's us. We're feet that are growing, and these shoes are too big, But Jesus is alive, and he's growing us and leading the way. And all we have to do is follow. That's the rest underneath our work. We've been talking a lot about rest this year. We're not the body holding itself up. We are a body joined to a living head, grown and led and carried together. So let's pray.